Welcome to the Bitter Jury Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Westhoff, and for one last time this season, we are talking Big Brother 26 and wrapping up the season finale. I'm also excited because it's my last time hosting for a few months. We're transitioning into Survivor season, and I know that I feel like I never actually got my feet under me with this whole hosting thing, and I will happily pass it back off to Richard when this ends. Speaking of, I'm joined by two co-hosts tonight. First, I will go to you, Richard, who I just mentioned. Richard, welcome back to the podcast. Final thoughts on Big Brother. How are we feeling about having another season in the books?
Bittersweet. I mean, for the few weeks after the finale, I genuinely was missing this season. So I'm excited to talk about it, have an excuse to have it in my mind again. And yeah, just great season. Excited to talk about it. I know I'm going to have a lot of fun discussions with Charles tonight, so I'm excited for it.
Well, speaking of Charles, he is our other co-host tonight. Charles, I know from pre-episode discussions that I feel it'll be a robust debate here tonight. How are we feeling? Did you bring the energy? Are you ready to get into this?
I mean, I don't really know if it's going to be robust for me since I'm not happy, but I've already had a few beers and I have a bourbon now. So, yeah, give me a few to let this start to marinate and I'll be ready to go.
Well, I feel like you got to be as happy as you could be. Out of all the outcomes of the night, the only thing you probably would have been happy with was America's favorite player going to, oh my God, I'm already blanking on names. 5 minutes into this episode, Tucker. There we go. Had to just talk through it. America's favorite player going to Tucker. Isn't that the only thing you were really hoping for out of the episode?
Oh, for sure. And I knew that was going to happen anyway. So Tucker's my boy. Tucker's America's boy.
Conspiracy theory. I wish they would release the results because I feel like Angelo is sneakily like the Facebook favorite of a lot of those like casual fans. So we can get into all that later. Let's just start though with big picture here. Chelsea ends up being the winner of BB26. I'm just going to start here. Hot topic. Richard, you first. How does Chelsea's win rank with the all-time winners of Big Brother? Does she... I've heard, she's got was it a perfect season? She was never voted for or nominated because I thought I saw on some of the post,
never received a vote that it never received a vote. I believe
because some people are debating, is she one of the greatest players of all time up there with Derek's with
the difficulty with it is the fact that she did not win the final H. If she won the final HOH, it would have been hands down an absolutely perfect season. I think. Yes, only her and Derek would have been. I think only her
Derek,
and Derek
who also did not
done.
Win the final HOH.
Yeah, Derek also didn't win the final HOH. I see a lot of similarities between Chelsea's game and Derek's game, to be completely honest with you. And to me, Chelsea is, without a shadow of a doubt, a top 10 winner. I will make the argument for, like, she for me falls somewhere between the four to, like, three, four to six range for me in my rankings. The unanimous one and two in no particular, like, will always be Dan Giesling, Dr. Will. I don't know if there's like anybody that, like, to me, Dan Giesling is the best player to ever play this game. And I don't know at what point we'll get a player that really rivals that for me, but Derek, Charles is going to hate me for this, but, like, he's up here. Andy Heron. I saw your face fall, and I knew it was going to happen. If you watch the video, there's a video. I forgot who it's by.
That is not where I thought you were going with that.
It is, wow. He breaks. It's like a two-hour video where he breaks down all of Andy's, like, the entirety of Andy's game. And it actually makes a compelling case as to why Andy's one of the best winners in the show. But to me, like, just off the top of my head, in that top five right now, it's Dan, Dr. Will, Ian, Terry, Derek, and Chelsea. That is the five that kind of float for me in that top five. And I think Chelsea is hard to debate the facts and the statistics and the numbers. Numbers don't lie. She won comps when she had to. She also did not have to win many comps. I think her finale performance was one of the best that we've seen in a while. And Charles, I think you should have known I was going to bring up this argument in the first place, because I bring it up every damn season and every damn episode, how they're going to perform in the finale and their jury speeches. And I think Chelsea did a phenomenal job in explaining her game and why she was as sneakily dominant as she was. Like, I don't think anybody realized how good she was until like the final like 6-7-ish, and that's kind of like a perfect time to show up and show out.
Charles, do you want to push back first? Because I'll probably gonna add to that a little bit, but I kind of want to hear the counter argument first before I figure out where exactly I fall.
We've talked about this before, and now that it's done, you know, I will preface by first saying that I am not disagreeing that Chelsea is a strong player. However, I've said it the same reason that I look at Derek, a strong player in a house of people doing absolutely nothing is terrible. And that's exactly what happened again. She wasn't really that sneaky. Everybody knew what was going on. Everybody could talk about the fact that she was in all these conversations, but nobody fucking did anything. It's like, you're letting it happen. And that to me is not entertaining. It is not, again, I would like to see her in a house with like a Dan or a Derek or someone where you would actually have to play the game. She literally got the game handed to her. Handed to her. I can't deal with it. I was so upset that Mackenzie, like, I don't know. I don't have words. I'll let Richard go, just because I'm even like fuming talking about it now, even though it's a few weeks removed. I'm like, yes, go, Richard.
Richard, make your point, but I also want to transition, because the next topic I have here is that decision by Mackenzie. Maybe one of the worst decisions I've seen from a Big Brother, you know, finale
episode. I'm willing to link, you know.
Oh, yeah. So link us into that conversation next, because okay. I feel similar to Charles of it being a house that she dominated because yes. The house wasn't that strong. But I feel like
agreed. With that said, I don't disagree with you, Charles, because I've mulled over this question a bajillion times, because it happens in Survivor. It happens in Big Brother. A dominant winner that just dominated, truthfully speaking, a group of dumbasses, for a lack of better terminology. But at the end of the day, what I've also learned is you can't necessarily fault the player for the season they were put on. You have to go into whatever the game is, Survivor, Big Brother, whatever the heck. You have to go into the game and just make do with what you were given. Were they dumb? Maybe. The thing is, we don't truly know how dumb they were, because at the end of the day, maybe she just made them look dumb. Like, what? Like, it. If you want to get into the philosophy of it, you can start begging the question of, like, how would Tucker, how would Mackenzie, how would anybody have done on a different season with a different group of people? It's just, you're handed the group of people that you're handed. And with that said, like, we've seen it time and time again on Survivor, on Big Brother. Mackenzie's move at the final three, I've seen that so many times. My immediate thought, Westhoff, you'll understand this reference. I literally looked over at Ben, because we watched the finale together, and I looked over at Ben and I said, I swear to God, she's about to pull a Woo from Kageyan. Woo took the stronger player over the absolute GOAT. Literally said, like, you know, loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Dude, literally, Woo in Kageyan, Cody Calafiore in 16. There's such a slewing list of picking the wrong person at the end. And both examples that I just named, the bad decision was made in, like, oh, because I'm going to be loyal. Sorry, loyalty at this point is not going to win you the bigger chunk of money, and it didn't. And I think, power to MJ. She did what she did. I hope she enjoys her $75,000, understanding that she could have had $750,000.
I kind of want to drill down on just exactly this decision by Mackenzie here, because I think this does shed some light onto why Chelsea's game may be stronger than, you know, first observation. You know, unlike Derek and Cody, Cody's decision when it was season 16 was straight up loyalty. They played together the entire season. So to cut him at the end, I see, like, that's a lot harder decision than what McKenzie did. Was not, there was not some long, I guess they had an alliance for the last few weeks. So sure, there was some loyalty there, but I just go to, in that finale episode, I recall after she cuts Cam, the two of them are in the kitchen and they're, you know, celebrating, and Chelsea's saying, thank you for keeping me. And then they switch the conversation over to, what are you going to say in your finale speech? And this little moment here, it kind of like opened my eyes to how she was playing coy the whole time, because Chelsea, I think, I mean, this was like 2 weeks ago, but I remember her saying something like, oh, I don't even know what I'm going to say. I haven't even planned this at all. Like, you're going to kill it, girl. And just kind of like looked aloof and put McKenzie at ease. Like, hey, I think I've got this. Like, I'm going to win. I'm in the dominant position. And then they sit down and they start answering questions. And Chelsea comes out guns blazing, prepared speeches, prepared points. You could see McKenzie's face bewildered to like, what the hell? Why did I keep this girl? And it was just like the ability for her to like hide in the shadows, look weaker. And then when the time and the moment came, she, you know, got up to the plate and knocked it out of the park. For her to be able to switch on a dime like that, and we saw just that one moment on live, you know, on the live episode. But there's probably countless moments in the house where she, you know, put on a front to look less threatening, and wooed these people into thinking, oh, you know, we're all equal allies and we all have a similar chance at the end, not knowing how dominant of a game she had played and how much ammo she was coming to a finale speech with. That's there is what really, you know, formulated my final opinion about Chelsea being stronger than I had initially given her, because I'm in the same boat as you, Charles. I think this overall, the season, the players, like, we're going to get into this discussion about where do we rate this season, and, you know, sneak preview of my thoughts. I also thought, because Richard's mentioned this earlier, that he thought it was one of the greatest seasons. I thought this was a fantastic season, so much drama, and yet I also think it was forgettable. And I think that's because of the lack of strategy in the house. I feel like a lot of these players were casted and weren't just super fans. And so I feel like there was a lot of game being played by like a couple of players, yet most of the players, like, even though they had all the information to go and play a great game, kind of just sat and like hung out for the summer and only played when like their life was on the line and there wasn't long-term strategy being had by more than just like Chelsea, really. And maybe like Quinn, who couldn't keep his mouth shut. So he kind of, you know, couldn't get out of his own way. But
yeah, I mean, you know, to both of your points, and don't get me wrong, like I already said, like, I'm not saying Chelsea wasn't a good player. But to the point that Richard made on, you know, playing with what's given to you, like, but the same goes for everyone, right? And that's where I'm saying, like, yes, she won and she played with what she had, but that doesn't make it good. Like, I could go play a 2-5 tennis player and I'm going to go win, like, because I should. So it's like, cool, like, this is a waste of time for me, and therefore someone watching it,
I'm not coming out to the park to watch you beat up on a 2.5.
No, but like, you know, but looking at it from an entertainment, you know, standpoint, like, somebody watching that is not going to enjoy that, right? And that for me is like, cool, you know, if I'm going to play UTR and, you know, the algorithm's all messed up and you have me playing somebody that I shouldn't be playing, like, then cool, I'm playing what's handed to me and this still isn't fun. I do, to your point, Daniel, you know, in that last bit, you know, where you talked about how she kind of stayed aloof, like, again, to me, that's still like how freaking oblivious McKenzie was. Cause it's like, again, McKenzie had been in conversations with Chelsea where Chelsea was, I don't want to say loud, but was very outspoken, was definitely in your face. And then to just believe her that she's not prepared for this, like, you're stupid. Like, I don't know.
I do agree. I think Mackenzie was significantly more, like, out of the loop than a lot of the players on this season.
Yeah, and you know, I know we're going to transition into this, and you brought it up, but, you know, again, even looking back at her decision, and I was talking to my friend Megan while this happened, I don't know where, and I probably missed something, because at one point in the season, I was trying to make myself even keep watching it because I was so bored. I don't know at what point Mackenzie, and I will give Chelsea credit for this, because she, you know, made Leah look like some huge enemy to Mackenzie, and she believed it. But it's like, I got annoyed with the fact that Mackenzie started boasting loyalty. And I'm like, if you're going to boast being a loyal player, then you should be loyal to the person that you came into the house day one on and said that you would stick with the whole time. So that just really kind of irked me with that whole situation too, because it's like, okay, you're loyal, but you just picked Chelsea up like 3 weeks ago. And Leah, you've been with ride or die since day one. And now all of a sudden you believe, again, you just believe what Chelsea says to you and goes for it. So I don't know. I need more bourbon.
Yes, you do. All right. My turn. Okay. Genuinely though, first of all, you're right. You like MJ and Leah walked into the house together, but I think the beauty of this season was the fact that outside of the Rubina, Chemo, T-Core voting block of three, no one was ever like 100% we're together kind of like alliance. You know what I mean? Like, they were never 100% together, you know, the way that like, you know, Dr. Will and Boogie, or like the Brigade, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, these alliances that were like 100% with each other, Derek and Cody, like
Chelsea and Cam were, but they like,
nah,
I always felt like they were on the verge.
I never felt they were 100% together. I never felt like they were 100% together. Because Chelsea was too busy playing the rest of the house. I think, God, there's so many like emotions to go through with this. I think, because my frustration with this is that I fight this fight all the time, because some of my favorite winners of all time in Survivor are people that won easy seasons. Kim Spradlin is like top two on my list, and Kim played with a bunch of idiots. Westhoff, you watched the season, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, but at the end of the day, the credit needs to be given where it's due, because Kim outplayed everyone on that fucking island. And the same credit needs to be given to Chelsea right now. She outplayed the hell out of everyone in that house. She made a very good point in her finale speech, which is she never put herself in a position where she needed to win a competition. She put herself in a position where she should have won competitions based on moves she wanted to make. I bet you cannot find a single week where Chelsea needed to win a competition, needed to stay in the game, because she just had a chokehold on every single genius in that house. And, you know, for what it's worth, Rubina could not win a competition to save her life. She won one. But genuinely, though, I think the reason why I won't say MJ and Leah were together 100%, I think Leah drifted to Angela, and I think Mackenzie drifted to Cam. I think they each drifted. They were never 100%. So I understand how you can see that relationship and kind of creep the doubt in. Because we've also gotten to a point where with these games where the later into the season you get, now that you're in the jury phase, people are starting to talk about cutting their number one ally. I'm pretty sure everyone mentioned that at some point, except for, again, that voting block of Rubina, Chemo, and T-Core. And it's easy to seep that doubt in of like, hey, you know, she's starting to think about you as an option, because Leah and MJ were never together 100%. Like, it was never like a final two ride or die till the end kind of deal. You're also in House of Strangers, and it was fucking janky world the week before. So, I will stop myself from singing the song on camera.
Please don't.
Please sing it, actually.
It left me with a bad taste in my mouth the end of that episode. My final thoughts on Chelsea's game here. I there's three things that stick out to me that solidify like why she won this season. First, we've mentioned it a few times already, but just to like put an exclamation mark on it, her flipping McKenzie to get Leah out, like that is like puppet master stuff. Like they should have been ride or dies together from day one. And within like 2 weeks, she got her to mistrust Leah, even though Leah to her face was telling her, "I'm with you," and got on McKenzie's HOH. She could have taken out, I think there were six or seven people in the house, and she took out maybe someone who was the closest to her. So that's some puppet master shit right there. Two, if you think of all the big majority alliances in the house, Chelsea was always a part of them. So like the Pentagon and like I'm not going to remember the rest of the names now, but she was always in the majority alliance. She always had all the information. She was never missing pieces of the puzzle because she was on the outside. And then three, I think when she was most at risk during the entire season was during Janky World, and it was between Chelsea and T-Core. It was like the two power sides of the house. I feel like that was what made or broke the season for them was, you know, if Chelsea gets out that week, maybe T-Core wins the season. And she was able to, without any privacy, you're all stuck in the backyard together, lay low, not become a huge target, and slowly push the target onto T-Core and them. And that's even crazier when you put in perspective of that, just that, you know, that's Leah's HOH week, convinces Leah to take out T-Core, and then the very next week is when she starts the McKenzie, let's take out Leah, like literally right after Leah had saved her and didn't put her on the block, turns around and gets Leah out using her ally. So just wanted to put exclamation marks on those three things. I do think she played a fantastic game. And if anyone else won this season, I think it would have been, you know, a miss for, you know, a season winner. Go ahead.
I want to put one more thing out there. Also, I don't know if this cast was as dumb as they were just paranoid, which made them easy to manipulate. Like, no, Angela, let's look at like majority of them. Let's look at the majority of the people on this damn cast. Cam, McKenzie, Leah, Quinn, specifically in the jury phase, all easily manipulated by the power of just paranoia. Like, if you get into their brain quickly enough that start sowing the seeds of doubt. Later that week, they're yours. She did it to get rid of Leah. She did it to get rid of T-Core. She did it to get rid of Cam. Like, she just had a stranglehold every freaking time.
Well, with that final thought on Chelsea, now let's go to big picture. See, was this a good season or was this a bad season? Charles, I want to send it to you first. Lay the groundwork. I know where Richard's going to come in. So I want you to set up the dominoes first. We can see how many of them Richard can knock down. Was this a good or bad season, Charles?
I mean, I have a hard time sometimes labeling a season on if I think it's good or bad based on strictly the winner. So
no, this is just big picture. Was it?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like it's always hard for me to kind of look at it because I label the season with who comes out on top. Right. And so I look at that and will sometimes have a hard time. And again, to Richard's point, like I get your point, but it's not why I watch the show. And I also disagree with the point. It's like, cool, you're here. Like, again, you know, I've already said, like, for me, I really had to make myself keep watching it. Like, I got really bored about midway through. Because, you know, from a viewer perspective and watching feeds, like they were literally just letting Chelsea do stuff with no resistance outside of Tucker, who obviously got evicted somewhat early. And so, gosh, I don't know. I feel like I would put
would
it.
Would you say top 10?
No.
Really?
No. It would be in the middle, for me, I would say
there's only been 26 seasons.
I know, but I'm saying like I would put it. I obviously would have to sit and look back at seasons because I don't remember numbers. I would probably put it in like a 15 to.
Would you put it above or below All Stars?
The second one. The one that Cody won?
Yeah.
Oh, Charles, how are you? How is it taking this long to answer that question?
No, I would put it below that.
What?
That's what. Yeah, I would put it above.
Below for sure.
All Stars 2 was. Sorry, you're talking about the season with Meow Meow and Halloween. Excuse me. Yeah, no. Yeah. Okay, Charles.
See, you're just basing that on people that you just outright.
I'm sorry. We're done tonight. Like, I can't believe that you are putting this season below All Stars 2. I'm sorry. I can't.
Richard, I had to make myself watch the rest of this season
because you didn't like the people, and you meant
no.
And you
because put that I was
down
bored
on night one.
By the
I
way,
I was bored.
I have a rabbit hole I want to go down, but let's finish. Richard, make your point about why this was a good season, and then I want
to
go down a quick
to me
rabbit hole,
this season
to
is top 10. To me, this season is the best one we've had since 20. So I will tell you, like personally. Between 21 to 26, 26 is number one. It to me is better than 25, 24, 23, 22, 21. Great winner, great entertainment. I think another thing that I personally factor into this is the success of AI Arena.
But which, by the way, big announcement.
Yes.
Coming back for another season.
I thought AI Arena worked out great. I thoroughly enjoyed the twist. They didn't say specifically, I don't think, if it was specifically going to be AI Arena. But
it's going to be like Final Four,
they
Fire,
said generally
tribal,
the like idea. I don't know, but they just said generally the idea of like three people on the block is something that they are like exploring what they can do with next season if it's AI Arena or something different with it.
Yeah.
Entertaining season. Wish Tucker stayed longer. I'll put my hands up there, Charles. But I mean, at the end of the day, I enjoyed the season. I think the other thing that like really got me with this season was there were often moments where you didn't know what was going to happen. And I think there's a certain beauty in sitting down at your TV on eviction night and not being confident on who's going home next. I don't know. I get that it's a weaker cast. I still think that the personalities were fun to watch in, you know, week in, week out. Angela was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Chemo pleasantly surprised me this season. I thought he was a lot of fun. I did not expect that. I don't know. I thought they were great. I thought Chelsea was entertaining. Last thing I forgot to mention when I was gonna go on my rant about Chelsea winning. MJ, why would you let a pastor make it to the final two? She's a pastor. Any job that requires public speaking off the top of your mind on a daily basis is a dumb move to take. Yeah, okay, moving
again,
on.
Again, there were people in the house that did not know what the fuck was happening.
With that said, I think entertainment value was great. I thought the gameplay was actually – I personally thought the gameplay was good just because I think, like, Chelsea makes up for it. If you like just watching her game on a week in and week out basis, I thoroughly enjoyed this season. I think also coming off of BB25 is another thing to note is like when you're coming off of a season, you have to follow up those expectations, and the season before can kind of set the tone of like how you feel the current season went. So like 24 comes after 23. 23 had the great move with the cookout, and then 24 you get Taylor Hale and, you know, Bruner, and I loved both of them, and then that sets a standard, and then 25 just absolutely sucked. And then, you know, to follow up 25 with a season like this with the entertaining characters, the really good gameplay, and just overall the fact that none of these people were absolutely effing hateable. I'm sorry, but like compared to 25, no. You could dislike them all you want. I know you dislike most of the damn cast, but let me tell you, this cast was better than 25. I don't know. There's something about the season that, like, genuinely, this is the first time in a while that 1 week later, the following Thursday, Sunday after eviction, after the finale. I actually missed this season. Yeah, Charles, keep looking at me like that. So keep looking.
I'll hop in because I'm mostly on your side, Richard.
I will not put. I don't want this to be a misconception. I'm no way, shape, or form glorifying this as a fucking phenomenal season as like, oh my God, this is the greatest season of all time. No. But do I think this is the best season we've had in a while? Yes.
I mean, I'm mostly on the same page as you. Like, I thought if you were to just strictly watch the gameplay, like the strategy involved, the every Thursday, not knowing going, like that almost never happens, especially as a live feeder, not knowing who's going to go home Thursday night as you're going into the episode. I feel like the majority of the weeks in this season, I was not sure who was going to go home. And that's what makes for, you know, investment in wanting to keep watching. My biggest, like the only thing I think I would rank this a top five season, but the only thing that's missing for me is I didn't have a player that I like wanted to ride or die for that I was super invested in. That is like, I think to me is what's most important when I watch Big Brother is I usually find one or two players that I like put myself in their shoes and I'm like, they're my avatar in the game and I'm playing through them. Just like off the top of my head, like Cliff and Nicole in 21 or Tiffany in 23 or Joseph and Taylor in 24. Like I find that I like every day I'm checking Twitter and I'm listening to the recaps because I want to know, hey, did they make moves today? Are they safe for this coming week? And this season, I never found passion for any of the players. It was kind of like they were all the same level in my mind. I was just like watching a play on stage and never invested fully in one character that I was rooting the hardest for. And so if I would have had that along with the rest of the accolades that we just talked about for this season, I think I would have loved, I think this would be one of my favorites, but that unfortunately takes some of the passion away from when I reminisce on what I thought about the season. I can't remember like, oh man, I remember week three when I really thought, you know, someone was going home and ooh, they squeaked it out and I'm so happy they did. It was like, oh, all right, here's who went home this week. Let's see who goes home next week. It was just kind of like ordinary somewhat. So Richard, was that a real finger or were you just showing us a new piece of technology that you were able
no,
to
it
do?
Was. It was. I just thought that I'd do it a different way this week. No, I agree with you that it's fun to be invested in someone, but I also want to bring the point of like, I feel like there's a certain beauty as well of like not having that someone that you're fully invested in because there's always the risk of being disappointed. And like this season, it happened with Tucker for a lot of us. Trust.
Actually, this is a transition perfect. If you can let me hop in here real quick. Yeah. This is the rabbit hole I want to go down with you, Charles, because, you know, this is fifth season of Big Brother we've recapped together, if you include Canada, maybe three or four now.
I know, I'm going to go back to just watching Canada.
I do. By the way, give me
your NordVPN again so that I can get into there.
Small tangent. I have tried to go back and rewatch that Canada season because I love it so much. I tried to watch it with my mom. You can't watch it. I've tried so hard. I've bought VPNs. I've tried to go to their websites. It's blocked or doesn't exist. You can't
really
buy it on Amazon because that is probably like – that's a top five season for me.
That is fucking phenomenal.
So, but the rabbit hole I want to go down is, so what I've learned from podcasting with you is there's an archetype of player that you love and it's the evil dick. It's the in your face. I don't give a fuck sure about your attitude, yes, like what your thoughts are about me.
Tucker!
I'm going balls to the wall. You can hate me if you want, but I'm just going to say to you what I think about you. Vote me out if you want, but I'll probably go out and win a veto and you can't vote me out. Like that's your type of player. So evil dick, Tucker, I'm sure we
Paul.
Have examples as well. Yeah, Paul. My question though is it's like a chicken or an egg thing because I feel like I constantly see you disappointed in these Big Brother seasons because you don't get to see your favorite type of player ever make it very far in this game. And so like
block it.
The thought I've thought about this a few times now is it actually not like because of bad casting or lack of like, I'm starting to think it's a chicken or egg thing because That type of player, although fun to watch, seems to always be a first target. And so even though there may be people in the house who would love to play that type of game and would probably become your favorite player, maybe they shook that strategy and avoid it, because if you play that type of game, you'll never win this game, because it's just not a type, it's not a successful strategy for Big Brother
anymore.
Does that make sense? Like, I just like kind of wanted to think like,
no,
I love those players too, but it's like, you're right. I mean, Evil Dick, you know, if you're the first to do it, you know, people are more like shock and awe. Maybe we won't touch him. But nowadays it's like, all right, that guy's an asshole. Let's get him out of here. Tucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And that's a good question, because I've actually thought about that myself. I've actually sat and I've said, like, I don't want to say her season, because then I would have to cancel myself. You know, that is my favorite type of player, but I also like Ian is a top five player for me. Tiffany is a top player for me, right? Didn't necessarily like the season overall.
Tiffany,
like,
as in Tiffany from 23.
What's that?
Tiffany as in Tiffany from 23.
Yeah. So good question. I think for me, again, using Andy, for example, like in that season, it's like I tend to not like the season as a whole if I feel like in general someone undeserving in my eyes wins. And whether that is, again, like a Nicole for me, because again, getting back to the whole bitter jury and again, like hurt feelings and all that, it's just like, that literally could have been one of my favorite seasons, but then I watch it and I'm just completely disappointed because, like, she didn't fucking deserve to win, you know, for lack of a better way to say that. So I do struggle, though, sometimes, because, again, for me, like, I watch it for entertainment. And, you know, part of the entertainment for me is someone coming in and playing the type of game that they want to play, and not having to worry about what social media is going to say for them and what's going to happen when they get off of the show and if their feelings are going to be hurt. Because, again, at the end of the fucking day, go get your $750,000. And if somebody doesn't like you, they can not like you while you're living it up in Tahiti. Cool. Right? Like, I don't know. It's just one of those things that I think we've gotten, especially in today's society, that we're just so aware of, again, being canceled because we made a wrong comment. You know, obviously there's something too. There's a huge difference in being just like outright disrespectful and playing the game. And again, Tucker, you know, was also able to admit his wrong. was also able to admit his wrong when he like got out and watched. Like, yeah, I realized that Cedric like did actually warn me, and cool, I'm gonna own up to that and I'm gonna honor that. Like, it's a freaking game. Like,
by the way, I know we're gonna talk about it after Richard, but I think Charles, you should go watch Survivor 35. I think you'd love it.
35.
Yeah, based off of that archetype of player that you like,
heroes versus heroes.
I just finished it last night, and you literally, it's your type of season.
Okay,
so, had to just put that marker down. Go ahead, Richard.
I would say I feel like Tucker is the perfect player for the modern game that fits what Charles likes. Like, it's the Evil Dick kind of behavior, but he should have been out week three, though.
You have to win out, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. But it's the Evil Dick kind of play style, but in a heroic light. Like,
I like that, yeah.
Like, people liked Tucker was not Evil Dick. Tucker was good Dick. Like, he was Dick Donato.
I'm clipping that.
Was likable. Huh?
I said I'm clipping that for sure.
Yeah.
Good Lord. No, what have I done?
Start that whole statement again, Richard.
You get what I'm saying, though. Like, it was Dick Donato if he was liked by the audience. Well liked by the audience. Like, he was the fun, energetic, happy Dick Donato. It was still that same game style of like, I'm going to do me, screw y'all. But at the same time,
not at someone's
expense. I'm not going to like antagonize people to get my way. I'm just going to like.
But he did antagonize me. People.
Who?
Everybody. Cedric. And like, and that's the thing too, though. But that's
barely. It wasn't. But that's the point I'm making, calling you out on it. You know,
they had a lot, and I had other friends texting me too. Like, again, he wasn't like calling people bitches or anything like that. But like, Dick didn't do that either. And
true,
you have to realize, like, and I think for me, this is the point that I make. Looking at the fact that that type of player still won America's Favorite tells you that a lot of people watching want to see that person just like I do. Like, America wants to be entertained. It's like, put someone in the house that's going to play, that does not care about trying to manage the jury. Because, again, we're in a fucking game. Like,
I still think, like, not trying to manage a jury, but like Tucker still maintained decent relationships. Like, it wasn't like he completely threw jury management out the door. It's just he wasn't specifically trying to be like, screw you, I hate you, I hate you, you're a piece of shit. Like, there was no will to like be mean where you could argue. I don't know, I'm trying to look at like the names you offered, and like, a Paul Abrahamian straight up was like, F you. Like friendship, but like, I'm going to lie straight to your face and not even give two fucks about it, which is what you love. But Tucker didn't have to do that to still play a game that still fits the Charles Matthews, you know, God-given archetype of a Big Brother player.
All right.
Well, Tucker.
We've gone down the
rabbit hole. I'm glad we went down that rabbit hole. I appreciate you guys humoring me.
Always. No, again, I actually really like that question.
Yeah.
So, all right, rapid fire now for the rest of the finale here. I got about four or five things I just wanted to touch on. Let's give our quick final thoughts here, and then we'll wrap things up. Or where to start with? Well, we're talking about Tucker. Wow, I actually wrote his name as Tyler in my notes here. So that's how much I've thought about Big Brother since
damn. The season
ended. The Tucker Rubina reunion, was it as cringy and awkward for you all as it was for me? I feel like CBS envisioned this big romance, and it was just like,
yes. Did y'all know about what actually happened behind the scenes though?
I don't think I ever did.
So people that were on the ground apparently said, like, the rumor went around, Tucker had initially bought like dozens of bouquets and was just going to shower them at her. And CBS limited him to only one. Like, Tucker was planning this like big romantic gesture, and production was like, yeah, you're going to give her one bouquet.
That's because they had like 2 minutes for that whole segment, then they had to move on. But are they still like a thing? I have not kept up.
To my knowledge, I haven't seen anything.
I think so. I haven't kept up either. And to answer your question, it was cringy to me only because, and again, you all should not be surprised by this. Love Tucker. Love his personality, everything about him. The fact that he loves Rubina, who, you know, I cannot stand. And I told you this, Daniel, reminds me of like the summer from BB Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. There's something about her, even though they're like idiosyncrasies are so similar. There's something about it in Rubina that literally makes me cringe when I see her on TV. So their whole little like 8-year-old love back and forth thing, like it was
a very great school crush kind of thing.
It was like literally when Rubina, I don't know, it was just weird for me. And then I also just thought about, you know, the fact that, you know, looking at when on the live feeds that they, you know, fully established their relationship. The fact that you could tell the exact insertion point I just kind of took my mind to another place and kind of started laughing.
Oh my gosh. Well, if that reunion didn't make you cringe, one that made me want to puke was the Matt McKenzie and even Matt Andrews. Just Matt. I
Oh boy.
cannot st he might be out of the recent seasons, which in my mind are 18 onward, he might be my least favorite casted player in this game. I think he is like an alien or like a demonic spirit who doesn't really understand how to be in this body. Like he was given like a Ken doll body and it was like, here you go, go be a human. And he has to go into the house and he's just like, something's just off about him. He's just like, and I think it's also
Hey,
because I've been
that's
seeing
your
this.
archetype, though. That's
No, that's who I picked to win, but God, I never root for them.
that's your strong, pretty guy.
My archetype is the Nicole, not Franzel, the other Nicole, the nerdy one. What's her
Oh,
name?
yeah.
Nicole Anthony.
Anthony. That is my
Okay.
archetype because I root for the underdog and they never actually get far. But
I didn't
that
hate
made me
Matt
want to.
until I didn't hate Matt until he opened his mouth on social media.
Oh, the videos on
Oh,
TikTok
the
and
video. The
stuff.
only one I
Like
found funny,
what? Like
the
what's
only
he
one I
doing?
found funny, genuinely, was him lip syncing to Angela's Zing. That is the only one that I found okay, because I was like, you know what? It directly mentions you. It pokes fun at what happened. Fair game. But every single week, incessantly talking about Angela, Jesus Christmas,
Oh wait,
shut the fuck up.
so he
Oh,
got on social media about Angela,
he
like
played the victim
every
for 3
week,
months.
every day, every week, this guy would not shut up. And like, I'm listening to Angela Zing, you know, obsessed with men half her age, but I'm like, no, you should send that to Matt the other way. Obsessed with a woman double
What
your
was
age.
he saying though?
Oh my God.
He was playing the victim of, oh, I had
Playing the
this woman
victim
pick on me
every
for
fucking
my
week.
eyes and whatnot. And so, like, he just took that victim card, which, like, could have played for like a week maybe,
Oh
and
my
just did it
God.
for 3 months straight.
Dude, all
Which
you
is, I
like.
think, why CBS gave him the platform to confront Angela on the stage because he made it this big deal that, like,
He
people
needed
forgot
to
him. Like, I forgot about it.
tone it
And
down. Make 1, 2, max 3 little videos on TikTok of like, I'm back home, you know, this shit happened, thanks for the support, whatever.
here's me and my mom, she loves me, and then be done with
The
it.
only
No.
thing, the only TikTok that I genuinely thought was warranted was him making fun of Angela Zing. That's the only one I thought was warranted.
I
All the
will.
other, because it talked about him. And then his mother got online. And his mother was in some controversy because she called some dude on the internet the F slur. I don't even know anymore. Like, this family is wacky.
Hey, aren't they
Like,
from Atlanta? I'll be
I'll
down
echo
there
you
soon.
did.
God
I'll
bless you,
echo you though,
Masato.
Daniel. It's like
It was too much.
I puked at his Angela, like, I really want to tell you that my life is better because of you and I forgive you. And
I wanted her to be
like,
like, wait, what happened? I forgot. Like,
no, but like, she
she
literally was
pretty
like,
much
she was,
did.
and I love how he goes, "Do you want a hug?" And she's like, "Not really."
Can I be honest though? Like, low key, Angela didn't see the shit he posted online. So I do like personally think that says something about Angela's character that she was like so unwilling to squash. I'm surprised that you didn't love Angela, Charles, because Angela kind of feels like an evil dick person, kind of like
Yeah, but
antagonize
it
people.
felt forced for
Yeah, that was
it wasn't
not
yes,
authentic.
but at the same time, I'm also just like, dude, like part like I just if you
No.
don't know what Matt did online, I was kind of like, personally as a human being, this I get that it seems forced, but I'm also like, it kind of you're on national television and it kind of reflects a certain way about you as a human being if you're not accepting an olive branch to squash. Because the thing is, you don't know what's going to happen when you go home and go on social media. You don't know what's going to happen. And like, why not just offer yourself the olive branch and kind of like the cover your ass moment of just squash the
Well,
shit?
what it
Like,
was, oh, you're talking about Angela. I was going to say the reason he keeps bringing it up it's his only claim to fame from this season. Yes. He's only on for a week. So it's
15
like
15 seconds his, of crazy eyes, and that's right. It. Like,
so this was him. This is his moment of fame, and I feel like it's just him grasping onto it and never letting go.
There's other ways that you keep your fame. Just hang out with your cast members and post obnoxious pictures of y'all doing weights online.
Okay. Like, I got Charles conducting an orchestra over there.
Like, do like pull a pooch. I love him, but pull
that
a pooch.
Or we're getting a sobriety test.
Did you hear what I said, Westoff? I said I love him, but just pull a pooch. Just post obnoxious videos of y'all lifting weights online.
He does with the Matt from season 25. I was going to bring that up. That's it's the douchiest thing I've ever seen. The two of them shirtless lifting and dancing. I'm
bringing it up.
They're like my two least favorite players.
Okay, sorry, Charles. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, Charles. You're fine. I do want to take this moment to have a serious conversation now that we're talking about it.
Oh, Lord.
Richard. I know that we disagree a lot and we have different types of players that we love, and that right now in this moment, I just need to tell you that you've made me a better person, and I've reflected on everything that's happened, and I really feel like I am where I should be in life right now because of you and what you made me endure on this podcast. And could we really have... What the fuck?
Okay, I'm assuming we're not doing a video version of this. Yeah, Westhoff just brought up the Matt's lifting weights.
I can't.
I hate it so much.
Can I genuinely say this should have been his entire Instagram, period. There should not, like, why not? I would have preferred an entire Instagram feed of just that compared to him bitching and moaning about Angela every week.
But she made him a better person.
Speaking of Angela, we got an entire, you know, these finale minutes are very, you know, they're fleeting. I feel like we never have enough time with the winner. It's always we're rushing off stage. Yet the producers of Big Brother decided we're going to spend a whole 10 minutes on the charcuterie incident and crying over meats and cheeses. I'm still flabbergasted by the choices that these Big Brother producers make sometimes, like the sliming, the farting noises, the, you know, rather than talk strategy and sit with our jury for a while about their thoughts, we're going to just go through a montage of Angela crying over meats and cheeses. I feel like sometimes they think their audience is a bunch of third graders. Man, Survivor purist here now. You can call me a purist.
Uh-oh.
I'm pulling it up.
The only other note thing I have here was that, you know, we've now replaced Dr. Will with jury on the jury segment with Taylor. There's our Survivor purism. Any thoughts on Taylor now being a part of our finale?
I'm so happy with the choice. The minute that I knew that we made a good choice, didn't Angela say something out of pocket and Taylor clocked her in 0.5 seconds?
Yeah.
I was just like, but wait a minute, didn't you just do that?
I think the biggest...
I remember what it was. Angela was like, I love a player that like is flashy with her moves and takes ownership. And Taylor just goes, so you just wanted to see yourself.
Yeah, that was a good
one. this is what I wanted was like when I heard that it was going to be Dr. Will, I was like, what we need is somebody that is willing to clock someone on their bullshit in milliseconds. And that is Taylor Hale. Was ready to clock anyone spewing some bullshit. Like Angela, literally, they asked a question like what your ideal player is. And Angela sat there for fucking 15 minutes explaining her fucking self. And Taylor clocked her ass like that. And I was like, that's what you need in a host of the round table. Because somebody's going to have a damn ego. It was very reminiscent for me of Dr. Will with, what's her name? I remember you were just playing house in the Big Brother house. Raven, calling herself the puppet master. It was very reminiscent to me of like Dr. Will clocking Raven on calling herself the puppet master. And that's kind of what you want, is you want someone that's going to have the sass to clap back and be like, yo, let's refocus. Like, you're being too, like, stop thinking about yourself. You're sitting at this table because you're not in the game no more. So stop fucking thinking about yourself. And so I thought Taylor was a great choice.
Here's, I think, maybe one of the biggest compliments. Someone who is not a Taylor fan is Alex Gruskin. I think it's they went to high school together. And so I think he's jealous that she got on major television before he did. And so when we were watching the finale, he was going to watch with me, and he saw that Taylor was on the jury roundtable. He was like, "Ah, I'm not watching now." But he came back in the room during that segment and he actually sat and watched it. And after it, he goes, "Wow, she did a very good job." And so I think, you know, shout out Taylor. You swayed Gruskin over to your side in that segment. So that's a high compliments from a very critical, critical person, I guess. Any thoughts, Charles? If not, anything else you want to bring up from the finale?
I do not want to cancel myself, so I will not comment on Taylor Hill and her being there. But no, you all know how I feel about her. I know you do at least. But yeah, no, it was, again, I had to make myself watch. I think part of it, outside of just being truly bored with everyone, you know, I had a lot going on as well, just in life. So it made it hard to watch something that wasn't entertaining me, to be honest with you. But there were good moments. You know, I'm all negative about everything. Hey, but
it's these moments here that are the good moments when we get to break it down together.
Exactly. Exactly. Friendship. But I mean, yeah, no, there, again, I'm not saying that there wasn't, that there weren't moments of good gameplay. Like, it definitely happened throughout, but consistently it just wasn't there for me. I can't think of anything specific. I probably had notes at some point on the finale.
You probably threw them out already.
Yeah, they're already gone since, you know, we're almost a month out, I feel, at this
point. Yeah, blame that on hurricanes and life, but
I know.
Richard, exactly. Any final thoughts on BB26 you'd like to get in here before we close the curtains on another season?
Great season. Glad to be on the pod for another one. On to BB27, on to Survivor 47, which is
on to BB Canada.
I wish.
Hey, what I lacked in the enthusiasm I had for this Big Brother season, I am finding myself having it for this Survivor season. So,
really,
these last two episodes.
Wait, Richard, you agree with me? You think
this? It's been a slow few weeks.
It's awful.
Hold on. I have to remind all, we'll talk more about this later, but I just have to remind everybody, the Survivor pre-merge is often slow, and it starts to build and get faster through the merge. I feel like we went through the same kind of feeling last season at the merge of just like, damn, this is going slowly.
You tell me this pre-merge tribal wasn't one of the better ones when it was the...
I'm talking about the first few weeks.
Well, to me, this,
it could just be the fact that my entire draft team is out the fucking season already. But like, it's also just like, I'm just so like, it was slow. I liked Asia. I liked Annika. I'm sad they're gone. But
the downfall of Rome is like my idea.
Dude, reality television. We need to save all of this for an actual episode. We need to sig out of this one. Hold
Speaking
on.
Speaking of drafts, Charles, though, we do need.
Oh, draft update.
Yes, we need an update. And what's the punishment for what goes on here?
I'm not going to do it myself.
I will pat on the back an undefeated streak on this podcast. I already lost it with Survivor 47, but I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
I do. I know Richard definitely won. The loser I will announce once we have a new president. Give me 24 hours or so. it'll be in tandem. You know what I mean? So someone's really going to have a bad or good.
Someone needs a camera on Westoff's house. You'll just see like white or blacks, like a white or black puff of smoke. Like you're picking up hope. We have a winner of the BB pod.
All right. Well, before we get too into a Survivor pod, I'll wrap it up here. So gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another season. This is always my favorite part of watching Big Brother nowadays, is that we get to come back here and break it down together and just talk about some of my favorite television with my friends here. So with that said, another season in the books, on to Survivor, and hopefully we will be back again next summer with more crazy opinions and hopefully a little bit better casting, but we shall see. So in the meantime, for anyone out there who listens to these, we thank you for listening, and we will be back soon.